Thank you so much. We started a series, as I shared with you guys a couple minutes ago, last week. It's really a short series. We're going to talk about last week we talked about the immensity of God, because without that understanding, we have a tendency to bring God down and act like he's as confused as in our lives and situations and stuff as we are. He's not. And so this week I want to talk about winning the unseen battle. And there's really a foundational principle that is required of all God's kids in dealing with the unseen. And that is this: taking responsibility for our lives in the seen world. If you cannot operate effectively in the seen world, what makes us think we can operate effectively with the unseen world? I must have the capability to handle the seen in order to have the capacity to effectively handle the unseen. For example, Jesus, in the last night of his life, the last night of his life, in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, and into 17, he spends hours, starting with the Last Supper, talking to his closest disciples. And he was talking to them mainly about the unseen world. But all they could focus on was the seen world. Because he told them the news in chapter 14 that I am leaving this place. He said to them, but don't worry. Trust in God and trust in me. Because in my Father's house are many rooms. If it was not so, I'd have told you. But I am going there to prepare a place for you. And when I prepare it, I will come back and take you to there. And he went on to tell them that he was going to die. Now, we're going to cover a portion of chapter 16 today, because Jesus just told these guys some massive truths about the unseen world. And all they could focus on was what they were dealing with right now, which was they were shattered. Their dreams and expectations of the future and what it was going to be like to rule with Jesus and what roles they would play. They were thinking, one, they were asking, can I sit on your right hand, which is the second seat of power? And then others were saying, can I sit on your left hand, which is the third seat of power? Which one out of the 12 spots do I get? And they had left jobs, they had left careers, they had changed their life to follow Jesus, and now he's telling them he's done. He's leaving. Well, what about us? And in chapter 16, which is probably when they're up in the garden, so they've been together. I mean, we have 5-6 pages in Scripture that cover this multiple-hour situation. Much more was shared. But when we get to chapter 16, Jesus says something to them. And he says this. He says, all this, all what I have told you in these last number of hours together, and probably inferring of all the things I've told you for the last 3 years, I have told you this so that you will not fall away. So that in the midst of what happens, you don't trip out to the degree that you fall away. I'm telling you, it's going to be okay. He says, listen, they will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming, which is only a couple of years away when Paul does his terrorist attacks on Christians. He says, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. You know, I've often wondered if he said anything about Paul in there. There's this jerk, this Pharisee guy named Paul. He's going to terrorize you guys. But don't worry. It's going to be on our team. It's like, we go, wow, how could God choose it? Well, look at us and sitting in here. Some of you are jerks. Yeah. He says, listen, they kill you will think they're offering a service to God. That's how messed up they are about the unseen. Thinking if they commit murder in the seen, they are actually doing this unseen God a favor. Now, there are people today in our world that think the same thing. He says, they will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. They think they know the unseen, but they don't. They have no idea. He says, I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. Why does he want him to remember? Because, see, what you believe will affect how you handle the seen and the unseen. You want to be effective in handling the unseen? You first have to learn to be capable of handling the seen. He says this, I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. He says, I didn't tell you everything because I took it on me. Have you ever grown up your kids? Well, as you start to grow them up, you're doing everything for them. Then you start to allow them to do some stuff, and then the world changes. That's called teenage. Then their world starts to change and their dynamics, and then young adulthood and all. Same thing in the spiritual realm. He goes, I was with you. But he says this, listen. But now I am going to him who sent me. I am again telling you about the immensity of God, the unseen world, beyond the unseen world. He says, none of you ask me, where are you going? Trippy, it's an amazing statement. In John 14, he says, I'm going to my Father's house. It is a mansion with many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place. Yeah. What about my job? He says, I've told you things about the unseen world, even beyond it, and nobody asks me about that. They are all lost in the world of the scene they live in. You and I would never fall for that, luckily. But these guys apparently are kind of weak. That's the problem we have. Is we lose sometimes the big picture, the immensity of God, what he was saying. What they should ask is, God, Jesus, what do you mean about this mansion? Can you break that down for us? What do you mean you are going to your Father? What do you mean in you're going to send the Holy Spirit? What does all that mean? They weren't concerned with that. So in reality, they were not very equipped to deal with the unseen because they were so wrapped up in the seen. How many know what I'm talking about here? Okay, let's read on. He says, rather, you are filled with grief because I had said these things. Grief and pain and loss and fear and anxiety cause us to get confused about the big picture. Cause us to get confused. All of a sudden, the unseen becomes not very powerful in the sense of God. And the seen becomes overwhelming to us. He says, listen, you got your grief. You're going through it. But you need to be able to hold on to what I tell you, the promises, so that in that, you can still stand. He says, listen, but very truly I tell you, he says, I'm telling you the truth here, listen. It is for your good that I am going away. This is a good thing. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. The Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will give you the power and the understanding to see things differently. You will now look at life with almost different eyeballs. He goes, it's good that I'm going, because in and of your power, You can't change those things. How many of us have tried to change a bunch of stuff in our lives only to fail over and over and over again? Because most of the time we try to do it in our strength instead of the power of God. He goes, listen, you guys are all concerned about this. You're missing out. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, listen, about sin, because people do not believe in me. The biggest sin anyone has is not believing in Jesus. If they don't believe in the immensity of God, if they don't believe that God took on a human body to relate to us, to show us the unseen in a way we can understand, and reject that, then the only things they have left is their perception of the seen and their perception of the unseen. And both of those perceptions are skewed because the God who made them, and as I shared with you earlier, holds them in his hand, is beyond all of it. He's in charge of all of it. He's sovereign or he's not. You can't be kind of sovereign. It wouldn't be God. And if you could figure out his ways, he wouldn't be God. If I was smart enough to figure out God, maybe I'm God. Smart enough to figure him out, you can't figure his ways out. But what's he ask you to do? Trust him. And when he puts you in the unbearable place, he's even got to bear you up. Because I know where you're at. You want to die. When I remember thinking, when my kids pass, I want to die. I just want to die. I just want to get out of the pain. I don't want to be here. I don't want to go on. I'm done. And God understands that. Because that's what I could see in the scene. But in the unseen, he still holds you. And there's more. How that works out, that's in his power. But see, that's what we get to do, is either believe that or not believe it. He says, listen, about sin, because people don't believe me. About righteousness, because I'm going to Father where you can no longer see me, or see me no longer. You cannot see where I'm at, but it's okay. And about judgment, because the prince of this world, the one that is in the unseen part of my creation, still way below me, unseen, has already been condemned. He's done. I've taken care of that by my power. And he says this, and this is a key verse for you to understand today. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. He says, I have a lot more to say to you, but your capability of holding it, grasping it, receiving it in, is you can't do it. What does that mean? That means that your capability to handle the things of God are progressive. The more I grow in my capability to handle the things of God, the more capacity I have to handle more. Does that make sense? So if I am not capable to handle what I have right now, which is the greatest thing you can do in dealing with the seen and the unseen, is becoming capable in self-control. If you can control yourself, you have great capacity to be used by God in greater ways. I remember being saved and early days of being saved and wanting to get into ministry and you know, wanting to serve Jesus. And oh my gosh, I found my purpose. And I went to my pastor and I asked him, can you know, help me be a pastor, help me move into this. He goes, hey Joe, let's start here, pay your bills on time. I go, let me talk to the associate pastor. Let's start there, Joe. Become capable in handling what's in your hand right now. Let's start here, Joe. Quit stealing beer. Because my first 3 months of walking with Jesus, I had probably the mentality some of you had in your journey, maybe some of you not, and I'm embarrassing myself up here. I thought, as long as I don't have to steal and give the dope man money anymore. I can steal the beer and pay for bills and catch up. I thought you could do evil with a good intention, and God's good with that. I literally thought that. Jesus goes, he needs more of the Holy Spirit. So I started to steal less. And then God had to deal with me with stealing one bottle of beer to trade it with a liquor store out of a broken case that I can't sell anyway for a Dr. Pepper because it's hot out. He goes, dude, that's stealing, Pastor. Wannabe? Goes, why don't you start by pastoring yourself and giving yourself good advice and taking it and applying it? See, that was my seen world at the time. Because I was gung-ho to deal with the unseen world. Oh, God. I mean, in fact, there was a lady in my first year of walking with Jesus. Maybe I had 10 months. I mean, I didn't know anything except I knew that I wanted to, you know, I was hot. I was on fire for the Lord. Couldn't do life really good at all. We had three little kids. My boy was four, and my twin girls were 1 year old. And, you know, I didn't know how to do marriage. I didn't know, you know, but I wanted to be a pastor. And I wanted to, you know, help people, and I wanted to do that. Now, that's all noble stuff. But there was so much in me, self-control-wise, I didn't. I wasn't capable. It's like Jesus said to these guys, there is so much. He had walked with them for 3 years. There is so much more. I want to pour into you. I want to show you about the seen and the unseen world and all this stuff. First of all, you never ask me any questions about the unseen world. So you're not, which means you're not handling the seen world very capably to where your eyes are lifted up off of that and you're looking for the bigger picture. What's really going on here? How does that operate? What is the ways you do things, God? How do we deal with the angel, the angelic, demonic realm? What is all that about? They didn't even ask him about those things. Almost every time you hear they were super thrilled they could do miracles. Occasionally. But they didn't know. So about a year into my journey with Jesus, there was this witch that was coming to the church we were at. And she fully acknowledged it. And wherever she would walk, crows would follow her. I mean, yeah, I knew, and it was like, and I think I invited her to our house. Because one day she shows up at our house. So I was all zealous. Now, Teresa's got a 4-year-old and 2 1-year-olds. So, you know, either I'm holding one or she's got both, or I got both. I mean, when you have twins, somebody's holding somebody all the time. And she comes into our house. Teresa's, you know, she's young in the Lord, too. And but she's wiser than me. She said, this is a bad idea. And and not me. I'm going to go get this demon out of this girl. So she sits down, we start talking, and, you know, I want to pray for her, so I lay hands on her to pray, because I don't know really what laying hands on is, but I heard about it, and I seen it at church, so I guess that's what we do. And I lay hands, she starts manifesting all over me. And it's like I jump back, and that didn't go well, and nobody left, and she ran out of the house. And that was like a big wake-up call to me. It was like, Joe, what do you think you're doing? You barely got your act together, and you're going to go attack stuff? Here's something, Joe. Attack your procrastination with that gusto. Because you'll manifest all over yourself. Go attack some of the other things about you, Joe. And let's get some victory in that capability, okay? Let's win the Joe fight before we start taking on other more seasoned fighters. Amen? Let's start using the Word of God in your life Let's start getting your life in balance. Let's do this. So God started to teach us in real ways how to follow his word as a couple. I started to learn how to be a husband. And all that were steps in my capability. Because God, as he said to these disciples, he had much more for me. But I was not able to bear it at the time. And that's usually when we get into trouble. Is when, you know, we barely got some sobriety. You know what I need is a girlfriend. You know what I need is a boyfriend. You're living in sober living. Not a put down, just reality. Or we're doing some other thing. What I need is a better job. What have you done to equip yourself to get a better job? What? Don't you know who I am? Well, yeah, apparently you're not equipped for a better job. What are you doing in the seen world? If I operate in fear in the seen world, you think I can throw that aside when I'm dealing with the unseen world? Heck no! Heck no! If I'm ignorant in the seen world, do you think all of a sudden I'll become knowledgeable of the unseen world? God allowed me to go through this experience with this woman to teach me, Joe, slow your row, dude. Slow down turbo. You ain't got anything to get. So God started to teach me, started to learn. I started to be patient. Patience was not my strong suit. Along with honesty, a lot of other things. God had to work on those. The reason I tell you this is that we're no different than these guys. You want to be powerful in the unseen world? See, I'm not afraid of the unseen world anymore. I'm not afraid of it. It just is what it is. And I know the immensity of God. He's bigger than it. So if I'm dealing with a person that's got issues in the demonic realm, my God is way more powerful than that. It's not about me. It's about who I belong to. And if you start, you know, and sometimes demonic, you know, controlled people, can they know things. The demons know things. Angels know things about us. Okay, they can watch us. So they'll throw that stuff up at you. I don't care. Yes, I'm a loser. I get it. Tell me something I don't know. But you got to go. You got to go in the name of Jesus. And you got to go. And I don't want to care. I don't care about your name and all that. But it took a long time to get there. And faith is built upon issues. Now, 9 years into my walk with Jesus, and at that point in time, I was 5 years at the mission. And so I was used to dealing with a lot of stuff. And I had grown in my walk. I'd grown in my marriage. And this is the one thing I can say about God. When I walked with God, when I didn't walk with God, I could never pay my bills on time. In fact, they weren't even in the top five priority list. And but when I started walking with God, I never missed a mortgage or a rent payment. I've never missed a meal. And Teresa and I, we had many a times where we didn't have money and God miraculously provided. But 9 years into my journey with God, my brother Bill, and I can use his name and tell you a story because he would tell you and he's given me permission. So don't tell him because he's now a principal of a Christian school. That's how far that guy came. But he was all jacked up. And he came and lived with Teresa and I, and he was our first in-home discipleship type thing. Don't recommend it, but we did it. And we had been far enough in our journey that he got his first job working for an AC heating company. A friend of at the church got him a job. And that's one of the good things about community. Sometimes there can be amazing connections. So his first job was going to, but he had no boots. He had no money and he had nothing. They were going to supply the tools, but he had to have at least the right gear to wear. And he had nothing. Now, Teresa and I had been far enough in our walk with God that we said, God will provide that. And Bill's response was, why don't you guys provide it? And I said, I would, but we have no money because I serve Jesus. And I'm not kidding either. So we, you know, we're doing this thing, and we told him, God will provide that. If God wants you in that job, he'll provide it, and you need to get a job, and this is the job that's open, so God will provide it. And he's going, well, I don't know how he's going. You know, he's tripping like we all do in our young journey with Jesus. Shoes are a big deal. Where we were at 9 years later, it's like, that is small. You can't even get smaller potatoes than that. You know, but in his mindset, it was a big deal because his journey with Jesus was short. God had much more to show him, but he wasn't able to bear that. He couldn't bear not having the right shoes and not having money, and you know, and his head was tripping whatever it was doing. So about a day before he's supposed to start work, which is usually God's typical MO, he takes you right up to 11:59. Why? Faith. Anybody can believe him for the first hour. When that hour ticks down to like, there's no time left, that's where faith really kicks in. And that's where he shows up. So he's about a day before he goes to work, somebody comes to our house from the church and says, hey, you know what, I got these boots. They're either too big or too small, some work boots and stuff. Joe, does anybody at the mission need them? I said, well, what size are they? And he says, he gave me the size, my brother's exact size. And I said, yeah. Hey, Bill. From God. And he went to, you know, he got the job. And he kept it. And, you know, he grew and grew and grew. But see, this is the deal. God has to teach us about the unseen by doing things in the seen and teaching us that as we grow in our capability to handle the scene and walk that can handle the what we see and walk in a manner that trust in God, that gives us the capacity to deal with the unseen. You guys following me on that? You cannot be spiritually immature, or no, emotionally immature and spiritually mature. They do not operate that way. As I grow in my emotional stability and maturity, my spiritual maturity grows too. When I learn to persevere, I learn to persevere. So now when the enemy attacks, I learn to persevere through it. Why? Because I've been persevering in the natural. When my faith has been born deep in me because of life and because of the power of God, when I hit that season when it is rocked to the core, when I am the most disappointed in God, my faith won't fail me. Not because I have power, because God's power. He's able to keep his own. He's able to remind us of the promises. Listen, in 1 Corinthians 4:20, it tells us this, 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, about power. It's about exercising the power God gives us to walk in a way we can walk. If I can do it in the seen, I can do it in the unseen. In fact, Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, 25, 30 years after walking with Jesus, he gives this incredible little number of sentences about what he's learned and how he is also grown and been able to bear the scene. And he said this. He says, his divine power, God's power, has given us everything we need for a godly life. He has given us already his power for his kids who have received the Holy Spirit, has given us everything I need to live a godly life. Every piece of power I need to live a godly life. Now, I know a number of us in here are thinking, godly life? No. All I need is a godly life today. He has given me everything I need, which is the number one component of dealing with the seen and the unseen, is living today. Some of you are familiar with that. Some of us aren't. And some of us that are familiar with it don't believe it. And so we live, though we know we only have today, we live like there's all this other stuff going on. I'm living 10 years in the future. You live today. Today, you have everything. You already possess all the power you need to deal with the seen of your life and the unseen of your life. Now, you may think, I'm going to be speaking a couple weeks at this victory conference thing, and I think my topic's going to be when victory doesn't feel like victory. Because not every victory feels like victory. There's a song by One Republic. I forget the name of the song, but it's got a great verse. It says, whatever I do that makes me feel good, when I do good, it makes me feel bad. Have you ever had that feeling like you're doing good, but you feel bad about it? It's like, and then when you're doing bad, you feel good about it? Does that make sense? Yeah. But you do good anyway. See, that's the power of God, to do good anyway, to do the right thing anyway when I don't feel like it. When it doesn't even feel good to do the good thing. When in fact, the bad thing feels better. God says, yeah, I know. You got all the power you need. You need. And see, this is where the unseen comes in to mess with the seen, is opportunity. You know, I am never really, I'm not a porn guy, never was. It's not one of my issues. But I'll tell you when I'm tempted to porn, whenever Tree sleeps. She goes to a retreat, I'm hammered. Well, this is a good time, Joe. You got it going on. Kids are gone. The wife's here. You're good. You go. Now I've walked with God long enough to know, oh, that's an unseen attack. I have a choice here. To go with what I know or to go with something else. I get the choice. I've walked with God because I've learned that when I do that, which is bad, that makes me feel good at the moment, the after feeling horrible, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. How many of you have learned that? Learned something? It's not worth it to mess with God. I would rather stay close to God. I like that feeling a lot better than going, oh, God, it's me again. Yeah, same old, different day. I get tired of that. I got tired of it. Now it's me, God. Same old, same old. Different half of the year. Life is much longer, and it's much better. Now when I deal with stuff, not that I'm even close to what God would have, what his big plan is for me in the realm of the unseen, but in the realm of the seen, I have learned one step in front of the other. No matter what. No matter what. I'm heading to a destination. I am heading to God's house. And when I get there, I will stay there for as long as God decides it. And then someday we will come back to the earth. I get the unseen. I have a knowledge of God. God has given me, and I'm not saying me as in, you know, I'm your example. I'm saying the process in me is the process in you is the process in these guys. He said this. This is what Peter says. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him. So divine power with knowledge. What did Jesus say to his disciples? Not one of you guys have asked me for knowledge about the mansion I told you about the Holy Spirit that's coming, about what's going on in my Father's kingdom. Nobody's asking me. So without that knowledge, I'm left with my own mindset. He says, listen, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you at Pentecost, it's going to change your world. You're going to start to become heavenly minded. And then the earth is something you're going to walk through. And you're going to handle with Santa. Today I was telling Therese, Therese is sick, you know, and I allow her to be sick 3 to 4 hours a year. After that, it's like, come on, buck up. Me, on the other hand, a headache disables me for days. But But I was telling her, wow, you know, because we had the 2-year-olds running around in the kitchen and the other guys watching some, cartoon. This is at 5:30 in the morning. It's like, dudes, it's Sunday. You get to sleep in. You know, you go to church later. But they weren't going to come because she's sick. But, I looked at Teresa and go, you know, I think I'm getting a little used to this. I'm used to that guy running around in his onesie, climbing up on the tables, running around, you know, and you know, he's all geeked up and he just can't wait to hug me. Yeah. He told me in bed, Papa, I love you so much. It's like, you don't even know me that well. This is what we call infatuations, grandson. We're in the infatuation stage. But he said this, listen, and then we got to go. He said, listen, his divine power and our knowledge of him through these, in verse 4, through those things, he says, he has given us his very great and precious promises. How do I deal with the seen and the unseen? I hold on to the knowledge of God. Believe in the power of God to accomplish what he promises. Though I see it not now, though I don't see it now, I believe in the promises of God. Therefore, I can trust him right now in where I'm at in the seen world because his promises. And what does he say about his promises? He says, so that through them, so that through trusting in his promises, I may or you may participate in the divine nature. We may exercise the divine nature of God in us. And we may become human beings who relate to God on a spiritual level and hit that divine, because we're going to be in the divine nature. We have a God spark in us. He says, you may participate in that nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires, caused by the way you used to look at life. And the corruption that it caused in you, your relationships, your body, your mind, all that other stuff. Handle your business right now. Become capable in handling your business right now. Holding on to the promises, you are valuable. This isn't the end of the story. When we leave here, we are still alive. I grieve for Steve's family. I mean, I deeply grieve. I get it. But I also know that there's a better day coming. And you know what? This is the first time I've even shared that really with you guys, because I'm grieving with them. And the last thing Teresa and I wanted to hear in our grief was how great it's going to be. And boy, the kids are in a better place. And all that stuff. It's like, I know all that. That does nothing for me right now because my heart is split open. Just be quiet if you're going to be with me. Just hug me. Don't tell me. Don't fix me. Because you ain't got the power. And I get it. You're tripping. I get it. Some of you have stayed away from us because you don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. And you trip on that. I get it. I don't hold it against you at all that much. No, not at all. Not at all. I get it. And seriously, we both get it. Teresa and I both get it. And we understand. And we understand. And you don't, you know, and so we get, why? Because, see, when in dealing with our seen world, you also begin to see other people's unseen world. You get insight into what, not only in the unseen world in nature, you get insight into the unseen world in people's lives. As you get healed in the stuff that God takes you through in the seen world, and as you progress in it, just like we were with my brother, we, 9 years into Jesus, could look back at his 4 months into Jesus and see the fear and see the, I don't even have enough money to get shoes, and see the lostness in him. And not, he wasn't saying all those things out loud. I could see it in him. Why? Because I was there. And when you're there, you get compassion for people that are there. We just kept telling them, God's got a plan. God didn't take you this far to drop you on your head. He didn't save you so you'd be shoeless. Gonna teach you a lesson. He's got a good God. We gotta go. All right. So you guys, hope you got something out of that. Let me pray for you. Can we stand up? Listen. In your world right now, God has given you everything you need to be capable in it, to handle it. Your job is to utilize that and handle it. And if it's grief, then grief is the way to handle it. If it's stepping out into something new, then that's the way to handle it. If it's to stop and be still, then that's a way to handle it. If it's to forgive and let go, then that's the way to handle it. If it's to make a change, then that's the way to handle it. If it's to stay the course, that's the way to handle it. And you only have to handle it today. All you ever have to do is right now. Every day. So my prayer for you guys is that you would get that deep into you. Secondly, get the immensity of God way bigger than your stuff. Seen and unseen. We don't need to be afraid of the unseen. God is bigger than it. What I need to learn to do is handle the seen. And if God brings the unseen, He'll speak to me about that too. He is fully capable to give me everything I need. So how many know that they got everything they need to handle today? Okay, that's one hand. How many are willing to do whatever they need to do today to handle it? Okay. Lord, you see their hands. Do your thing, God. Give them that strength. Give them that wisdom. Give them that power from your Spirit to hold on to your promises, to help them, to lead them, to guide them, to teach them, to train them, to use them. But give them the great capability to do it in their lives today, what they already know and have, to possess it well, so that they become more capable with greater capacity to handle what they really have in their heart to do. So make them capable now so they have greater capacity. And all those who agree, say amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.